Welcome to the Ice Tea Podcast After Show, the after show where we talk about things that may or may not be figure skating. Things are currently very much figure skating. I am Netta. Hello.
Hello, I'm Megan. Yeah, things are figure skating. It's like the bones and no bones dog. It's like, is it figure skating or no figure skating?
The bones are no bones dog, but it's just the immense short program of the 2021 Skate America.
And like, my God.
None of them had bones.
None of them. Least of all, Kevin Amos, the poor guy. My God. Like,
sweet, sweet boy.
I feel bad because there was a rumor going around that he didn't want to skate and his team like made him because he's been recovering from a groin injury. And can I just say.
Which sounds like it fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah. And can I just say, like, he's recovering from a groin injury. And then in the short program, he falls in such a way that he just straight up hits his nuts on the ice. And the irony being that he has a move later in the program where he's supposed to do that. And he couldn't because he did it accidentally earlier. Now, ain't that irony?
I am trying so hard to be an adult about this because it's fine for, like, we all have groins and sometimes they get hurt, but it's just so unfortunate. The entire situation is just so unfortunate. I was watching the event with two people who, unlike me, have penises and testicles, and both of them were suffering so aggressively as that was happening, because I was like, oh yeah, he's recovering from groin injury. And then poor Kevin Amos finds a way to fall in such a way where he just fell straight into the splits, which is honestly impressive.
It's my worst nightmare.
Wait, can I tell you a horrible story? And you can keep it in because it's Patreon.
Yeah.
When I was like little, like a preteen, I guess I was like 11, there was this playground in my neighborhood, and it had like one of those just like regular old slides with like a sandbox at the bottom, you know, like that whole situation.
Yeah.
And it was surrounded by this like fence, and the fence was just like this metal fence. It was like 2 inches wide or so. And I have this vivid memory of thinking I'm a cool like gymnast acrobat and walking on that fence and slipping and straddling that fence. And by God, I remember that pain to this very day.
God. I know someone who did that once as a child and who then went to her dad and was like, I hurt my Vivaldi.
I did very much hurt my Vivaldi. It was like a hot summer day. The fence was hot. I was wearing tiny shorts. I cannot imagine having a different sort of, I cannot imagine being a person who has a penis and balls and doing anything like that. I feel like I would die. I feel like this would be the moment I die.
I guess we don't know for sure that that's what Kevin has going on. Like, to be super fair, like, we've just made assumptions.
Well, yeah, groin could be like any, like, it could be like the inside of like the thigh muscle situation. Like, there's so much just like tender shit that could be hurt.
It's just a war zone down there. So get well soon, Kevin. That really blows. And
can you believe that we were like, come to Patreon, we're gonna be doing more coverage, and right off the fucking bat we're like, so anyway, dick injury.
Yeah, we were like, oh, it's actually gonna be more serious on Patreon, so if you like that sort of thing, now is a great time to join. Anyway, dicks and balls.
Dicks and balls are very serious sometimes. I never promised to be serious. Au contraire. I just want to talk about the chaos of the men.
Can I say something?
The men of the chaos.
Yeah, can I say something else too? I want to, at least on the bonus episode, because I'm like worried now that we're going to get canceled for forgetting to say it on Maine, that Sasha Trusova was injured. And I feel like it's going to be one of those things where it's like, you didn't mention that she was injured. And it's like, her injury didn't really have anything to do with why I didn't love what she did. In fact, I thought the injury, working through an injury, it's not a good idea, probably, but she did a good job of it, and I admire her for that. That is a positive for skating well, all things considered. I just, I don't know. Sasha stands, I think she's adorable, and I just, you know, I don't think that the foot injury made or broke her artistry.
Wait, speaking of foot injuries, a person who wasn't there was Brady Tennell, because she had to pull out because of her foot injury, and she has also withdrawn from her second Grand Prix assignment as of like yesterday, which is really sad, and I miss her, and I hope she's like taking care of herself.
Extremely agreed. Obviously Stan Brady and Stan Brady's health and recovery.
Stan Brady for fucking ever.
Very interesting though, because just in the last episode we were like, oh well, of course Brady's going to the Olympics, and now it's like, well, okay, even if she's well enough, she's missed the first half of the season.
Yeah,
so it's
like, I don't even know how that works.
I'm not like a horse racing odds maker kind of person. I'm not a bookie. I don't know what Brady's odds of going to the final this year would have been, but she has gone in the past, and that's just like one less person in the mix now.
It's kind of interesting, like the domino effect of like one person doing very good or very bad, or like having to withdraw or like having to be added in, like fucking man of the hour Jimmy Ma, who like didn't know he was going to the Grand Prix up until like 2 weeks ago, and then he fucking showed up and killed it so incredibly hard.
Yes, yeah, Star Andrews wasn't supposed to be there either, but she just happened to have a perfectly polished track of her singing that she could skate to. I make it sound as though she sorry, like obviously this was her program anyway, and I just made it sound like she didn't know she was gonna have to figure skate at all, like ever again, and she like
she just had two beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous, gorgeous, amazing, fantastic dresses and a track of herself singing. And she was like, you know what? I guess I'm in the area. I could swing by.
I mean, listen, I have tracks of myself singing and I have some nice dresses, but I could never do what Star Andrews does because she's in a class of her own. Jimmy Ma also just, yeah, man of the hour. Total.
I cannot wait until we get this man on the pod so we can tell him the actual origin story of why we're here and how it's all his fault.
I'm a little concerned that we're gonna tell him and he's gonna be like, that's stupid, and like not think it's funny.
No, it is stupid. It is stupid. I do not think it's funny, but it is the truth.
It is embarrassing. Yeah. We owe so much to him. I just respect yes. him. He's like, I'm gonna skate to anime. I respect everyone who skates to anime. And you know, amazing short. The free wasn't as good, but that's kind of sometimes his pattern, and he knows that, and he's working on it, so. The jumps were so confident.
I also think it's fucking fantastic for, honestly, any skater to have, like, that one moment of, like, knowing that they're capable of this. And I think Amber talked about that as well after breaking 200, that, like, she has known that she's capable of it, but it's, like, it's different to see it happen on the international circuit and be like, oh, this is, like, actually a thing that I can do. And, like, it's not just... I think she said it's not just that, quote-unquote, I got second at nationals. And I'm like, this is not... Ma'am, this is not a just. But, you know.
Yeah. I think it's... We were talking on the main episode about how similar the lineup was, especially for the men, to the Skate America, that fateful Skate America. That was the first competition Netta and I ever watched together in 2019. Or 2018?
2018.
Oh, yeah. I said 2019 18. On the main feed. I meant 18. That's fine.
They know.
And how, like, Jimmy Ma was one of my favorites of that event. And I was like, I want him to go on and do more like international stuff and become like really, really good. And I'm worried that they're not going to give him that chance. And so it was really nice to then kind of come full circle and be like, yes, he's back and he's doing good.
I honestly think this is going to enable him to like pop off more for the rest of the season.
I would love to.
Having seen that.
I want a shirt that says Jami Enabler.
Yes, me too. But just like, and just, it's just like Times New Roman across the chest.
No context or branding.
Yeah, no, it's just, this is who I am. Hello. It's one of those, like, oddly specific, like, I'm a trucker dad who loves my gay ADHD son. Generated, like, Facebook ad t-shirts.
I want to shirt this is, like, fish love me, Jimmy Ma fears me.
Can that be the title of this episode? I am begging you, please.
Oh,
my
yeah,
God.
Absolutely. Who else was there?
I really quickly want to talk about our dear, good, precious friend, Nam, who had a bit of a hard time, looked beautiful, and he spoke about, very candidly and earnestly, about how he had kind of a hard time, like, mentally in the off season and, like, preparing with, like, all of the uncertainties of everything going around. And kind of circling back to the conversation that we had on main feed about, like, mental health and recognizing when you need to like take care of yourself. I think it was very admirable of him to just be like, it has been hard, because it's so many athletes are inclined to only say, you know, I've been working very hard and everything's going great. And I think it's always refreshing and very honest when people are like, no, this is hard and it's been hard and I'm struggling a little.
Yeah. You know what, though? Like, I did watch some selections from the gala, and for like both like Nathan, Nam, like everybody who looked like they were having a rough time during the competition did like perk up and do like a really fun, entertaining job at the gala. And that's what you want to see. I want to especially
Nam self choreographed his gala like 3 hours before it happened.
Yeah. And I loved it. Obviously, it was BTS. And like, if you want to hear me and Nam freak out about being ARMY, then like there's a lot of documented footage of that. But I was so excited he finally got to do his BTS exhibition, and I really liked he did a lot of the a lot of the choreography from the music video, which like granted is a lot of like hair smoothing and kiss blowing, so it was like very it meshed very well with like his gala aesthetic and, you know, what makes a crowd pleasing gala. So it was a perfect choice. I'm super biased, but because I love Nam and BTS, but I thought it was just a real banger.
I desperately wish that I could be into K-pop. It intimidates me profoundly, and I will never have the mental capacity for it. I wish I could, because it looks like you're having a great fucking time.
You know, it's one of those things that, like, I don't know exactly how one would get really deep into it in a non-lockdown setting, because it's so time intensive. Because I was like a medium serious BTS stan before lockdown, and then it wasn't until I had absolutely nothing else to do and couldn't go anywhere that I watched like all the deep lore, like extra like reality show stuff they do, and like got into a bunch of other K-pop bands. It's time consuming, and it's definitely like a very deep
it intimidates me profoundly, and I say that with a person with a lot of I don't know if you've noticed, but I do enjoy talking about the things that I like, and also knowing just an encyclopedic amount about the things that I enjoy. It's just so much.
It is.
And there's so many ways to have correct opinions or bad opinions, and I'm terrified. But it looks like you are having a great time, and I enjoy that and love it for
you. Well, I'm happy for you that you have me, just in general, but also because I think sometimes the best thing when you have something that you're like, oh, that's cool, but I don't know if I want to go like full hyper fixation on it, is having a friend who can be like, okay, I know this is your favorite in this group and this is your favorite in that group, and look, they looked sexy today, look at this photo. And you don't have to do it every day. It's just somebody else being like, you might enjoy this music video like once every few months.
Yes, and I always do. Real quick, while we're talking about Nam, I did want to say that there was like some like Team Canada thing the other day, and they were posting on Instagram their new like Olympic season like gear. Team Canada has partnered with Lululemon, and all of their fucking like jackets and stuff are so good. Like, they look like high streetwear fashion in such a cool fucking way, and I'm very impressed. Because like, for Winter Olympics across like all sports, like sometimes people's like country like team gear just looks like they need to be bundled up because you're freezing, and Team Canada has managed to just look extremely cool.
Yeah, and like, Lululemon is racist, but like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, and like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, every single brand could be like, every single one of them is bad, and every single one of them is like working in horrible labor conditions. The garments look cool, and I don't have it in me.
I wish that somebody would partner with fucking LuLaRoe, and like, they would just have like I was gonna say like, they would just have like big holes in the crotches, and I was like, I don't want to make it seem like that's why I want it.
No, I just think it would be funny. It would just be funny, like MLM shit to fall apart
because they're ugly.
Oh my god, what if someone did, like, the way, like, Yuzu, like, does his, like, cosmetics deals and stuff, but you're, like, full just, like, pushing, like, Scentsy or something?
I'm sorry, Gabby Dalman, what?
How dare you!
Do you think Gabby was upset that Team Canada didn't get Actually, no, because she wasn't peddling leggings. What was it, like Herbalife or something?
Yeah, or something. I don't know. But I don't mean as like a side hustle. I mean like one of the like patches on your jacket is like pure romance.
Is that, I'm sorry, I'm so stupid about fashion. What is pure romance?
Oh, pure romance is not fashion. It's an MLM which sells dodos.
You're breaking up a little bit as part of the issue. It sells what?
It's an MLM which sells, I did say dodos the first time. It sells sex toys and like sex stuff.
Were you
like
censored lube and by shit? By God?
God was like, fucking kill this bitch.
God is like, I'm gay, but I am not letting you say dildo.
You believe God is vanilla.
You believe God is vanilla. Cool. As long as we're on stream of consciousness, because I love this for us. The other BTS program that I saw, there could have been more. I couldn't find videos of everyone. But the other one I saw was Yungyu. And she was just so cute. And can I just say, and then I promise I'll shut up because I feel like I'm talking a lot. But her.
No, you're not. You're good.
Her program was so like talk about somebody who you can just sort of sense is like a has gone down way too far in the BTS rabbit hole person, because it was a medley of like, it was like instrumental Spring Day, and then it cut into like the track of Spring Day, and then it went to like Butter, and then it went to Boy With Love. And so it's like we're touching on the different eras, okay? And we're touching on like she's changed her costume. She incorporated a lot of the original choreography. And let me just say, I'm sure she's a better dancer than me, just because everyone is. But while I was very deep in my K-pop insanity during lockdown, at one point I was like, what can I do for fitness? I'm going to learn how to dance like the K-pop people. So I learned the choreography to Boy With Love, and it's hard. It's like I can do it because I'm okay. I'm actually okay at learning choreography, but it's hard. But because I knew it, I was able to clock that like she was doing a lot of it. And it's so hard. Amazing. Even on land. Like there's this one move where you sort of scoot and kick, and she does it like in place on ice. And I'm like, what are you? This is insane. You're like so talented. So I was just really blown away. I thought she did a great job.
When you visit me in Sofia, it's going to be inevitable that you're going to see the spot in the downtown where the K-pop kids gather to learn choreography in public.
Is that something this towns have? We building. Don't have that.
Well, it's like,
I guess Sofia's a city.
It's like, yeah, you know, like, I guess the way teens go to hang out at spots, like different cliques of teens and youths. There's this very old building, which is like, it used to be like the only shopping center in Sofia back like before like malls were a thing. And it's this gorgeous, gorgeous big building, like smack dab, like downtown Sofia. But it has like huge, huge windows, and it has like this promenade which is like covered by arches, so even if it rains you're like outdoors, but like it's covered. So anyway, it's gorgeous, and it has those big windows because it is a shopping center, and the K-pop and like old kids like go there to use the windows as mirrors.
That is,
and they dance in public.
That is so funny. I must see that.
It's extremely embarrassing, and it pisses me off because it's like such a like touristy spot, and I've had like, because I like work with international people who live in Sofia, I've had like several people be like, can I ask you, what is that and why is it happening? And the answer is, teenagers are a nightmare.
Teenagers do be awful.
As Gerard Way once said, teenagers scare the living shit out of me. Wait, can I talk about a figure skater?
Yeah.
I thought Yuhana Yokoi could never top Tom and Jerry, and she fucking did.
She's just so full of surprises.
She is so extremely in on the aesthetic and the vibe. Yuhana did Tom and Jerry last year, and this year she is fucking skating to a Queen medley, which we always love and respect. But the Queen medley has Fat Bottom Girls in it, which is a fucking pull.
It is. It's a divisive song. I will admit that. I was just so thrilled. I was like, in a sport where women are expected to weigh like 50 pounds, and it's so frequently just like a horrible, horrible mess of eating disorders and body image issues and like like femininity in one specific flavor. Like, I stand this child who came out and was like, fat bottom girl. Like, I died.
Just wearing the most chaotic dress as well.
Yeah, and it was the first, like, it was the first skate. It was the first skate of the women's short. And that was like, this is how we're starting. And it was like, is this a commentary on America? Because we're in Skate America. I don't know, but I loved it.
Is she going to keep showing up to places with, like, different programs to do live commentary? I don't know, but I'm into it. What else do I want to talk about? I feel like there is, like, some precious boys, like Adam, and we talked about Kevin already, but, like, Adam Xiaohenfa and Daniel Grassel that we kind of covered, like, in, like, the last episode, talking about, like, leading up to, like, what brought us here.
Daniel doing White Crow is, like, so weird to me because, like, I get it. Like, it was iconic and it, he had no idea of knowing that it was then going to be, like, why isn't Misha doing it? But it was, it's just so weird because the reason Misha did a good job with it was because he's so balletic, and Daniel's literal entire thing is, like, look how weird I move. I like it. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but it's literally like, look at this weird leg thing I can do for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, God, my God.
Now Adam is a joy. His friggin' step sequence is like,
I'm sorry, I'm being distracted because I thought to open Kaori's Wikipedia, and now I'm just thinking about, well, first, I'm thinking about how amazing she is and how much I love and respect her and how beautiful both of her dresses are this year. But also now I'm thinking about how weird it is to have your Olympic year free skate be to a song called No More Fight Left in Me.
Which one is that? Is that the Gladiator one?
No, it's the other one. Her free skate is like a bunch of like, it's like whatever, like mix of songs. But one of them is apparently called No More Fight Left in Me.
Wait, I want to look at this. Because I have shit to say about Kaori Sakamoto, as always.
That sounds threatening, but I'm into it.
Okay, yeah. So the show program is Gladiator. And she is, once again, doing a movie that was popular like 10 years ago. Because that's her brand now, and I respect it.
Do you think we're going to get her a Gladiator reboot now?
Yes, I do. I think that's how it works. I think that she is like, it's like the speech in Devil Wears Prada about like why you have this green sweater or whatever, and it was because it was on, or blue or whatever it was, and it's because it was like on this runway and blah blah blah. It's that, but it's like the Kaori Sakamoto figure skating program to big budget blockbuster reboot pipeline.
I'm going to die.
Okay, so I have all the like, ugh. Okay, so I saw all this discourse on Twitter about how like it's fucked up that like she has to skate to this program, this free skate because she doesn't like it, and someone forced her to, and like it's a
what,
and it was like,
where are people getting this info?
I mean, it's such a weird poll that I feel like someone must have said something to that effect somewhere. It's not the kind of thing you can just make up, but like, to that I have to say, first of all, I think I saw other takes too that were like, it's fucked up that like this is a man choreographing a program about what it means to be a woman. I'm like, don't say that about Benoit, because his whole entire brand when he choreographs ladies programs is like, how can we show different sides of femininity if you don't want to be like Swan Lake? So to say that he's, I don't know, it's just like a weird,
I think it's such a weird gender prescriptivist bullshit take to be like, people of different genders cannot like understand and talk about like the experience of being a certain way, because first of all, it's a very binary take, and like, you can be a masculine person and talk about whatever, and I do not think, like, if he showed up and was like, fucking Dua Lipa woman mixed with Kesha woman mixed with Who Run the World girls, then I'd be like, okay, this is a little fucking on the nose. But I think men in an aesthetic sport like figure skating have a right to be able to talk about masculinity, femininity, and like the way we perform gender when they have the brain cell to do it. Please don't take this out of context. Not all of them should be doing it. Many, many of them, especially in the old school, should shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, I think that you should be allowed to do it if you've demonstrated that your take on what femininity in the sport should be could be many things. And I don't actually know if very many people are doing that to the extent that Benoit is. Like, he's at the forefront of let's really push what kind of programs girls can do. Ladies, women, I don't know, people. So the other thing I want to say is that it just irks me to, like, I don't want anyone to have to do a skate they don't want to do. But also, it's such a weird pull to be like, she was forced to do this because she didn't want to, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, but, like, also most skaters are just, like, given a program that maybe they don't like. Maybe it grows on them. Maybe they don't. But nobody was like, it's so awful that Nathan Chen was forced to do that, like, whatever the one was last year that he didn't like. Like, it's so, you know what I mean? It's just...
The mariachi one.
Yeah, it's so...
He wasn't forced. I was Venmoing him cash money every single time he had to skate it for me, actually.
Were you really?
No.
Oh, I was like, no.
No, here's what I have to say.
I forgot what jokes are for a minute, and I was, like, very confused.
What I wanted to say is, first of all, I want to remind you of, like, when we talked to Nam and we were talking exactly about that, and he was explaining how, like, rare of a luxury it is to, like, have a say in, like, the overall concept. And I think on, like, an international senior level, of course you want to, like, live in this beautiful world where everyone gets to, like, sit in a production meeting and talk about every single, like, beat of what they're gonna do. But the reality of the thing is that there is a team behind every athlete, and sometimes, like, maybe you wanna fucking, I don't know, skate to Ariana Grande as your short program, and people are like, hey, it's an Olympic year, maybe let's do something that, like, more people will understand. And I'm not advocating for, like, no athlete autonomy, but even though figure skating is a sport that one person, like, or two people perform in, it's still a team effort, and there's still, like, conversations that have to be had, I think.
Yeah, it's just, like, you know, there's such a subtle line between actually being rightfully concerned about athletes' well-being in a sport where that's not always a given, unfortunately, and, like, trying to find things to be mad about because you want to be mad. And it's just, like, I don't know, maybe everybody's line between those is different, but whenever I see people just finding things to be mad about to be mad and, like, disguising it as, like, concern that is actually kind of infantilizing, it just, like, that makes me mad.
It pisses me off, and it mostly pisses me off because it, like, it then sets precedent for when shit is important, when shit is about, like, actual, like, health and safety, or, like, people's well-being, or the environment they work in. It doesn't, it's a boy cried wolf situation at some point. And I think there is, and this isn't just in figure skating. I think this is something that we've said so many times, and it's, like, discourse TM all the time, is, like, people need to learn. And by people, I mean, like, people who are terminally online, like myself, need to learn how to articulate that they simply don't vibe with something without having to make it bad.
Yes.
I think in the past, like, 10 or so years, we've grown so accustomed to, like, oh, I'm not watching this show because I heard that the 7th AD is problematic, and therefore, like, it's bad. And you're using that to justify, like, not having seen Squid Game or whatever. Like, just say that you're not interested. Just say it's not your fucking cup of tea. It's fine.
Yeah. And I also just want to say, too, like, I realize that, like, when people are just, like, tweeting random takes and stuff, they're not, like, thinking about, like, this is going, I need everyone, you know, it's just, like, a random thought. So I'm not sitting here being, like, those people suck shit, because it's, like, they didn't put that out there so it could then be discussed by, like, people on a podcast. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm sure they're perfectly good people, and it's just an attitude that, like, it pisses me off.
But... Yeah, but also, like, we're not sitting here, like, Twitter user Netta Marie said that, blah, blah. We're just,
yeah, like, it's true,
talking about what's in the... We're not doxing anyone.
No, we're not.
Wait, before we wrap up, as of time of recording, truly, truly, truly timing this episode, I went on Twitter because my attention span is garbage, and Jackie has posted that, according to Match TV, which is, like, this Russian sports media, Trusova had a fracture in her foot at Skate America, and it's not certain how, like, fractured it is. And he said something that I'm not even going to discuss this. I'm just going to read to you what Jackie said, and I've already retweeted it. He said, it's tempting to play up her win under extraordinary circumstances, but it's irresponsible to normalize competing with potential serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something we should be, like, mad about and, like, actually care about. Yeah. And not, like, oh my god, a bunch of 20 or, like, teenagers and 20-year-olds maybe don't think that, like, Giacomo Puccini is their favorite musician. Like,
right.
I think there's things to be mad about, and there's things that are, like, of course you're not always going to get to fucking, like, skate to Billie Eilish. Sometimes it's something else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for sure. I think that's why I also am just sort of not... Yeah, I hate the attitude of, like, it's so good she pushed through. Because, like, it is, but, like, did she have a choice? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
But on a happier note, Mikal Berzina is still out there.
I was expecting the word daddy.
Well, you said it. So you made it happen. You were the change you wish to see in the world.
Yes. I wish, I pray to God to find the strength and maturity in myself to one day be able to talk about his little free skate costume. But today is not that day. Today I will say the man is still daddy, and we could very much see his nipples through some black mesh, which, as we see, is the only aesthetic, as we know, is the only aesthetic I've ever cared about, is black mesh and nudity and dad rock on ice.
It's a real show of your range to be like, I am here. I am one of the oldest in the field. My titties are out. My wife and daughter are here, and I will be skating to Bryan Adams. Good night.
Honestly, this is kind of the platonic ideal of the energy I wish to carry myself with in the world.
It's
is
aspirational.
I have a loving family. My titties are out. You're welcome. Good night.
There you go. That's all there is to it. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else we want to talk about. Shin Sato is really cute. He makes me extremely nervous. His costumes are luxurious.
Yes. Overall, like, across the board, some fucking mistakes aside, so many of the costumes are just like, oh, people have fucking invested this year.
Yeah, and it's like, it makes me feel bad for me in non-Olympic seasons having to, like, watch and talk about costumes that aren't Olympic-y costumes.
Oh, I enjoy garbage. Wait, real quick. Real, real fucking quick. And I know I already raved about Mathieu Caron. I don't know if you watched any of Ice Dance. Did you see Madison Chag's green dress?
No, I didn't.
Oh, shit. I will send you the program. Maddie and Evan are doing, like, a Billie Eilish situation.
Oh, I read they're, like, aliens or something, right?
They have an alien one, and then they have a Billie Eilish one. They're separate, they're both amazing. Not the same. But the Billie one, Mathieu is a fucking genius because her dress is the color of Billie Eilish's hair in that one era.
Oh my god.
Her dress is green and black. It's
iconic.
Amazing. It's genius.
Wow.
I will send you the program. It's real fucking good.
Okay, I'm excited.
I didn't shout out Ekaterina Kurikova because honestly, she did the same thing that she did when we last talked about her, which was show up and be beautiful and be full of sunshine.
I loved her. And I love the way that I think that whatever information they have to give to the event runners must just be wrong on her forms, because every single time it's like, she's going to do Janet Jackson. And then she does, like, this beautiful, like, heartfelt, emotional, like, I mean, what is it? Is it like...
She has the... it's like a chaplain...
Yeah, it's the chaplain
one. It is a chaplain.
It's the beautiful, like, da na 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 na, and it's like,
yep.
We all live in a chaplain nation.
Yes, we do. Speaking of chaplains, I got to see future Olympian Sasha Fagan run through her one of her programs for this year, which is a chaplain, like a couple weeks ago. And my girl is recovering from knee surgery, and I've been stressed out because, God bless her, she's working so hard, but it looks gorgeous. I've never seen her move this light on her feet. It's very, very beautiful.
Awesome. Well, the good thing the surgeons were good, I guess. They must have made her knee extra bouncy.
Extra bouncy, beautiful knee. We'll talk about it someday. We'll get to see her.
Beautiful, like, knee.
Oh, God. Have we done it? Have we done it?
Yeah, Audrey Shin's highlights look really nice. And she's really great. It's just, it was a deep field. Coming in last in this field is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. She's a gorgeous skater and she's only getting better.
She should be extremely proud of herself.
Yeah, Archer Denalian is the other one we didn't talk about. But he's just, he has junior's arms. He'll get there. I don't know.
He reminds me, first of all, his one costume, the one like black and gold costume, fucking opulent.
Oh, the one that looks like he's going to the Met Gala that was about Catholicism?
Yes.
I loved that.
Opulent. He also looks so much like my cousin that, like, I have to do double takes. I have a cousin who is a teen currently, and he is the same, like, lanky Slavic, but, like, the dark version of Slavic, like, black hair.
Slavic,
like,
but dark mode.
Boy. Dark mode Slavic, like, lanky boy. He has such similar energy that I keep being like, is my cousin skating for Russia now? Which would be a gag because he plays soccer.
Wow. That's like a Disney movie. Like, secretly he's a skater. Also,
secretly he's a skater and I realized by watching him compete in an international event.
That's like Billy Elliot kind of, right? I don't know. It's been like 25 years since I've seen that movie. But
no, it kind of is.
Mariah Bell was also there. She introduced Nathan at the gala and it was so cute because she was just so happy and he was so happy and he was very like, I don't know. It seemed to put him in a nice mood for his gala. So, which was like an Avicii song in very Nathan fashion. It was very like hype boy.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Yes. And it was just like, let's put on some party music and see if I can like, who's going to win today, gravity or my abs? And like the shirt. Oh no, my shirt. Oh no.
It's an abs or no abs day.
What do I do if I've never had an abs day in my life?
No, it's not about you. It's about like every day we put Nathan Chen on a patch of ice and we make him do a camel spin and we decide the goodness of the day based on whether or not we see abs, I guess.
Yeah, but then like the prudes on Twitter would have a completely different rubric for that.
I never said which part is good. Maybe abs day is no bones.
That's true. I guess, yeah, we don't say which what implies what. We just calls it like we sees it.
Yeah, maybe it's abs or no abs, and that's where we've arrived here on this night, and that's fine.
I think that's fine as well. I think that's a good ending point.
I feel like we've had a real abs day here in the studio.
Congrats.
I thank you all so much for listening. If you're still here with us, it means that you support us and you keep our lights on and you keep... Apparently, the deep lore of our metaphorical studio is that we have a fireplace now, so we keep the logs on the fire and the lights on, and we appreciate you very, very deeply, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and we will be seeing a lot of you in the next few months, and we look forward to it.
I'm so excited, and I can't wait. You're welcome to sit by the fireplace. Take care of yourselves and each other. Love you all.
Bye.